Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Welcome Good to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Mark, hi. I know we
I'm here.
Technical issues. Yeah, so sorry. Goodness gracious, we made it on finally.
We did. Welcome to Mercury retrograde. Welcome to the super moon. Welcome to spring and the equinox. A whole ton of energy.
There you go. So thank you to all of our Inspired listeners around the world for joining us here today, for being patient with us. We do have a great show ahead of us on a topic that is just so needed, so important. And just like with all of our other topics that we cover on Inspired Living, you know, this is one more of them where if everyone around the globe did this, imagine what our world would look like. We're going to be talking about conscious leadership today. But first, I'm Kim Falcon, live from the beautiful state of Virginia. So happy I made it on. So if you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. And certainly if I can support you in any way through readings, healings, or hypnosis, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can also connect with me on social media and join me on Fridays for my Facebook Live event at 12 Eastern for Conscious Conversation Q&A. And I also do some mini guidance readings, which I have a lot of fun doing. But we're going to just get right into it today since we have missed out on some time here. Joining me is my partner in crime, the intuitive prospector, in the beautiful state of Seattle, Washington. Mark, good to have you back and good to be on together. That was a close one.
Yeah. Got a little bit of a late start, so we're going to just have one commercial break for the show, so that's awesome. Again, you know, I always pay attention to Mercury retrograde. Every time we're in Mercury retrograde, stuff like this happens. Not just here with the radio show, but other places I see it because I work with tech. But like Kim said, we're going to get right into the show, so I'm going to be really quick just because we're a little bit behind. But my name's Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. You can get a hold of me at marklanehart.com. You can internet search the Intuitive Prospector. Love to do a little spiritual prospecting with you to find your own spiritual gold. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter under Inspired for Us. Facebook, and we'll be taking questions today. If you want to call in, 1-202-570-7057. And our encore shows are running through YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, lovefirst.info, marklanehart.com, and Ohm Times Radio Archives. The positive affirmation for this month is positive mind, positive life. Kim, let's get this ball rolling and let's get our transformational coach and speaker on the line with us.
Yes, so today we have Jared Bull, who is a transformational coach and speaker, as Mark said, and with his background as a holistic therapist, a combat veteran, and a mystic, he's able to see deep into the life of another and transform their world from the inside out. That's where it starts. On the inside. Mm-hmm. He works with other coaches and executives around the world, both online and offline, to align their inner world with their outer world, made up by their businesses, families, and friends. He blends the perception of an Indian mystic, the depth of a therapist, and the motivation of a coach to transform your experience of life. Jared, welcome to Inspired Living, and thank you for your patience.
Yeah, welcome, Jared. And
hey,
thank you for your service.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you for your service. It's a privilege from one bed to another.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's I'm glad I'm here, guys. I'm glad we made it.
Yeah, me too. So, Jared, you did a lot of great work out there, and in the way of transformational coaching, but also on the spiritual side, because it all falls under the coaching that it is that you do, whether it's you're working with individuals or relationships or business. And I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about that. You know, I came across your work, quote unquote, just by chance on YouTube. It popped up after another video that I'd been watching. Your video came up on Kundalini Awakening, and I was like, what? Who is this guy talking about Kundalini Awakening? I gotta see what this guy's about. So, you know, just learning more about you through your videos and interviews. You have a really interesting background. So talk to us about your own transformation, you know, from where you started out to where you are today, and share with us kind of what the foundation of your work is.
Absolutely. I'd love to. So really how it started was I was in the military for about 4 years as an infantryman, and I was really dedicated. I was really committed to my work. And so I first started when I was 18 years old. I did 2 combat deployments to Afghanistan. And then from there, after those 2 combat deployments, I got out and I went to school and I started writing about my combat experiences. And an interesting thing happened when I started writing about my combat experiences. I was sitting at the computer and I had this energetic awakening. I felt this energy running through my body. I was writing about a really intense experience that I had, and this energy just erupted in my body, and it started changing my world very, very quickly. And the yogis call it Kundalini. And it's the energy of creation. And what it does is it goes in and it cleans out your entire system, your entire body, cleans out emotions that are no longer serving you, thought patterns, belief systems. So I started experiencing this transformational process just by myself, just by intensely searching for answers within me. And so that was really where my path changed. I started looking more inward and less outward for answers. And then as I did that, I fell into the transformational process more and more. And that led me down a path eventually to where I traveled to India. And I was there for about 6 months living with yogis up in the mountains at 13,000 feet because I wanted to understand what exactly was going on with me. Nothing in the West could have prepared me for that experience, and no one gave me an adequate explanation. So I went there, and then I got back, and that was when I started up the YouTube channel, and everything shifted. I started living the transformational experience, and I started help coaching others through that transformation process. Transformation is just a natural part of life, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your relationships. Just change and transformation, that's part of living. And so this whole process that happened to me, I really mapped it out, and it eventually took me into the world of conscious leadership and coaching and helping other people to navigate whatever transformative processes that they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. Okay, there's a lot said in that. okay. So that is a pretty intense experience when that energy rises through you. And like you said, you know, I've experienced it too. Wow. Nothing goes unseen when that energy runs through. It shows you everything that you need to see within yourself and your life to bring it. Like you're talking about conscious leadership, but that Kundalini awakening really, it's about bringing all of your aspects of life into a conscious one too, right? Because it all starts with us, the individual. So very, very interesting. So the basis of your work, then who do you work with? Who's your market, your clients?
Right. So I work with everyone at the executive level down to the manager level. And for some people, it's different. It's different based off of where they're at within the company, but essentially it's the people who are managing things. So when I work with executives, their whole company is structured around their own mind. And so whenever they go through a conscious shift at the mind level, their company needs restructuring because their company is a natural product of of their mind. So when I start doing transformative work with them, whether let's say they want to meet a higher business goal, or let's say that they don't have work-life balance, when I start working with them, I start looking at what's the connection between how their mind, how they're thinking, how that is set up, and the connecting parts of their business. So that's where I first start. I take stock in what is it that they're trying to accomplish? What's their end goals? And then I'm a guide through that transformational process. So the first question I would ask them is, where do you need to be? Who do you need to be in order to meet these goals for your company or for your life? So I'll give you a perfect example. One of my clients, Kevin, he works in Florida. He has an electric company down there. He started going through this transformational process naturally, and he called me up and we started connecting. And he was looking out at his business, and he realized he needed to change everything. He needed to change everything because as he was going through the transformational process itself, everything that he was in control of was changing as well. So what I provided for him was a safe container, a safe space to allow this process to happen. And so as we dove deeper and deeper into work, we structured his business from a place where there was a lot of things that he didn't have control over, he didn't have awareness of. And so we brought more awareness into those things within his work that he wasn't aware of, and that was affecting him and his business, his sales specifically in this case, in a bad way. And we addressed those issues at the personal level. Because our life,
so,
whatever it is.
Jared, real quickly. So when you're talking about he's going through transformation, are you talking about like on a spiritual level within himself, his own soul starting to emerge within him? Is that what?
Exactly. It's his own soul starting to emerge with him, but that invariably affects all of his connections. And for his case,
okay,
it was his business. His
okay.
business was an extension of him. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Okay. That's really cool. So, I mean, are you finding that your clients are going through that awakening within themselves first, typically, or do they have some kind of awareness? Are those shifts already starting to take place?
Right. So what I've noticed is they start going through those shifts. They start going through those changes, and then that's their life starts shifting around them. So the process starts internal. A lot of people don't even know how to communicate what's happening to them, and then they contact me because I give voice and words to this experience on through my social media channels. And then I help them through this process, help them to understand, give them words to speak to the experience, the inner experience that they're having. And so what they see is like everything around my environment is changing because I'm changing from the inside out. But a lot of people don't know how to really voice that because it's an internal process. Nothing changes in the outside world. You change and your outside world naturally starts to shift. And so the first thing that I do is I take stock with them and say, what is really shifting for you? What is changing? And is it changing in a way that you want to see? And at first, a lot of them say, no, not really. I just want to understand what's happening to me. So we first get a grip on the situation. What's happening? How's your life shifting? How's your business, your relationships? How are they all changing due to this new experience in your life? And then we go into the reasons of why it's happening. Like, okay, why is this happening? Well, I actually wasn't satisfied how I used to have my business set up, or I wasn't satisfied with my relationships beforehand. I just didn't know that until I'm speaking to you about it right now. And then we go into what would make your work, your life, your relationships more satisfying. What about them isn't satisfying to you, and how do we shift your behaviors and how you're showing up out there in the world to make those things more fulfilling?
So are you finding that, which I think is just wonderful, because having come from, you know, the corporate world myself, which a lot of it can be very unconscious, to know that there are people out there like you who are bringing conscious leadership you know, into the business world is just so, so, so important. So just thank you for the work that you're doing. Do you find that I guess what I'm wondering is, I mean, do you work with people who are completely spiritually, so to speak, unaware too? Or are you finding that your clients are like attracted to you because they're going through that within themselves? And then, oh, yeah, the business is an extension of me. Everything needs to be aligned now. Is that
right? Right. Yeah, that's a great question, Kim. So I'm finding both. I find some people who are don't have that spiritual awareness who reach out to me because they see the results that my other clients are getting. So for instance, you know, one of my clients who works in Boulder with me in Colorado, he doesn't have that spiritual awareness that most people have, but he recognizes that the way that he treats his employees and manages his managers could be done in a way that's more fulfilling to him personally, but also that is getting the professional results that he wants. And he's not even necessarily that spiritually aware. He just is aware that something doesn't feel exactly aligned or right. So, so I'll go into that with him and I say, well, what would look and feel right for you? What would give you the results that you want? You know, knowing that you have effective managers who can lead, who can get the results that you want, but doing that in a way that honors the human being and honors the person. I think a lot of times in the corporate world or, you know, in the business world, the traditional business world, things can get pretty harsh and rough and there's a high burnout rate. And that's because humans are being worked and viewed as just, okay, this is your role, this is your part, do it. And if you don't perform, then you're out. And that's if you notice that energy, it's more of like a fear and intimidation energy. And that doesn't, that may work to motivate people, but that does not keep them around for very, very long. In fact, some businesses, that's the only way that they know how to operate. That's just built into their business plan. Yep, we rotate through our employees every 6 months to a year, and that's just how we do things. But what all the new research is showing around conscious leadership is that when you take care of your employees, when you make them feel accepted and part of a community, when you acknowledge and appreciate the work that they're doing and you reward them around that, they're going to work harder for you and they're going to stick around. So not only do when you treat your employees in a better way where you acknowledge and appreciate the work that they're doing, you do two things. The first thing is you build up loyalty. You build up a company culture. People actually want to stay and work with you. And then the second thing is you actually motivate your employees to work harder. So instead of coming from a place of fear and intimidation, you're going to lose your job if you don't perform well. It's, hey, if you perform well, we're going to acknowledge you and not only acknowledge you, will reward you, and that will make you feel even better. And when people feel acknowledged, they actually end up working harder because that feels good. It feels good to be heard and seen and valued. And when we feel that way, naturally we're gonna work harder.
Yeah.
Does that make sense how I explain that, Kim?
Oh yeah, of course. Of course it does. But what I'm smiling at over here is you're talking about some of the clients that you're working with now who may not be spiritually aware, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But like working with you is like an activation for them on a personal level. So I love that. It's like kind of
that's exactly
you know,
it. Exactly
it's
it.
An activation for them. So, you know, you're elevating consciousness across the board even when they may not understand it in that way, and that's fine, but, you know, it's happening anyways, which is beautiful. So when you talk about conscious leadership, then what does conscious leadership mean for you?
Yeah, so I would say what it means is to be in align with the way that you lead and the way that you live. That there's no separation between the two. You walk your talk. So it's like if I'm asking people to be a particular way, then I'm also living that. I'm being the example. That's what a true leader actually does, is there's no separation between what it is that they're asking the people under them to do and how they're living. It's complete alignment. And when you're in complete alignment, you will actually feel better. You'll feel better emotionally because there's nothing that's being deceiving about it. You're asking people to do the very things that you yourself are doing. You know, in the military, that's something that they instill in training you. It's no, you lead by example. You don't just tell people what to do. You live it. And when you live it, and the people under you are seeing that you're living it, then that inspires them. They're inspired because they're like, here's a living example of how I'm supposed to be. We teach people not just by saying, but we teach them by doing and being. And so when you have a leader who's showing up in the way that they need to be in order to inspire their men, things get done. Everything moves. Things are cleaner. People feel better because you're a living embodiment of your practice, of your teachings. And the greatest spiritual teachers, and even just the greatest leaders anywhere in the world, in the corporate world or in the spiritual communities, they embody what it is that they're teaching. Their actions, their external actions, are completely in line with what they're saying.
It's so interesting to hear you use like the business terms, but yet on the quote unquote spiritual side, it's like everything's moving in divine flow, you know, but maybe not see it that way, but that's what's happening, you know, and they're not living in separation from their soul. They're living in alignment with their soul when they're leading from the truth of who it is they are, you know, in the workplace, but also within themselves and in their own personal life. So that's very, very cool. Mark, I know you want to come on and share some your insight or ask some questions.
Yeah, no, I was
too, so
I just
want to make sure we bring you on.
Yeah, just listening to all the information that Jared is sharing with us, and that military background, definitely you step into what becomes a well-oiled machine and great leadership and great inspiration. I want to, for our listeners out there, I want to go back because you said something that was very interesting to me. When you set out to go to India to spend 6 months with the yogis and you felt that energy rush through you. And when you said that, I thought of Nikola Tesla. You know, when you want to unlock the secrets of the universe, you think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And for you, if you could just share a little bit more about that story, about what that energy felt like, how you got into transformational coaching. You've got a very impressive YouTube channel. You have over 23,000 subscribers. Maybe Kim and I can get there someday. But you know, people love that interaction with the video base that we've come to find out as well. And just take us back and give us a little bit more insight to that transformational journey, because you became the transformational coach based on a decision and choice and free will of going to India for 6 months. That's not something everybody does, but I know a lot of people that are on the spiritual path, that spiritual awakening, they do go on that soul quest. They do go on that vision quest. You know, it has very many different names culturally around the world. But just share with our listeners that journey a little bit in more insight to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, I didn't actually feel like I had a choice, just because it was happening to me. I didn't choose for this energy to come on. The energy literally feels like you're plugged into a wall socket 24/7. I mean, I had this experience where I got electrocuted, and when I got like electrocuted by stepping on this wire, it didn't really feel too much different from my normal state. I mean, there was a bump up of an energy through my body, but what was really interesting about it was I was like, wow, I'm always plugged into something. So I'm always feeling this high energy flowing through me. And I recognize that wherever you place your focus and your attention, that's what you connect to. And that's what your life starts to revolve around. And so as I went deeper into this process, I was just trying to understand first what happened to me. And I just had heard so many tales about people going through similar experiences and going to India and talking to spiritual masters, you know, that more traditional type of experience. Right. And so I decided, okay, you know what, I guess I'm going to do that. And it was a great experience for me to have, because I went there for 6 months, got some good answers, but by the time that I got back, I just realized that, you know what, the only person who's going to help me understand this process is myself. And when I got back to the U.S. after 6 months, I finally just recognized I got to find the answers for myself within myself. It's not out there with some guru or with some other person. Mm-hmm. It's really just within me. And that was what led me to coaching, because the brilliance of good coaches is that they know how to ask right questions. If you look at the word question, the prefix actually is quest. And so the best coaches know how to ask the right questions. They know how to put you on an internal quest to shift yourself, to bring a connection between your actions in the external world and your feelings within your internal world. So however we feel is a result of what's going on in our external environment and our thoughts related to that event that's happening out there in the external environment. And so what a good coach really knows how to do is they knows how to ask the right questions to put you on your own internal quest to come to the right answers. Whenever I work with people, I don't do anything other than ask the right questions. That's why people pay me good money just to ask them the right questions, because the right question is more important than an average answer every time.
Well, and I like how you brought that into my awareness just now. You know how many times I've looked at question and never thought of the word quest before it, and we break it down? So that's very powerful to bring that into my awareness, that you ask a question when it really can lead you on a quest. So with what you do today, because I have a lot of clients right now that are really, with everything that's going on in the world, from, you know, weather and climate and religion and politics and violence and terrorism, how do you be a leader to help inspire people to maybe lower that anxiety and help them to transform, to move into more of the acceptance or that higher perspective, if you will? Because, you know, leadership is that
right,
that 30,000 foot perspective. Like, you know, you're on the International Space Station, you look down at Earth, looks very peaceful. But the closer you get down to the planet, the more chaotic it becomes. How do you work with people that way?
Right. Yep. Great question. So the first thing that I do is I look at where their focus is at. So a lot of people, they focus on the wrong things. They focus on things that aren't within their control. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. Mm-hmm. So Nelson Mandela, when he was thrown in prison, he recognized finally that he could not control the government. He could not control the corporations. He could not control his community. All he could control was his actions, his everyday actions from moment to moment. And that's all we ever actually have control over. And so what most people are doing is they're focusing on things that they have no control over. If you imagine three rings, right? So let's imagine three rings, and there's a circle at the first ring, and then there's another ring around that circle, and then there's one more ring around that second circle. And each ring is a zone. And the first circle is our zone of control. That's our daily actions. Those are the only things that we actually have control over. When do I wake up? Who do I speak to? How do I speak? That is the only thing that we ever have control over. What most people do is they focus on the third outer ring, which is the zone of no control. That's where the government lies, the corporations. We don't really have much control over those things. But if you notice, the people who focus on them are the most frustrated and anxious. But you're frustrated. People are experiencing that emotion of frustration and anxiousness because they actually don't – they're focusing on things that they have no control over.
Right.
So what I do is through asking the right questions, I shift their focus back to the things that they do have control over. Hey, you may not have control over, you know, what Washington is doing and the policy changes that are happening there. So stop focusing on it. But what you do have control over is to pick up the phone and call your congressman and make a case for something that's upsetting you in the news. And that's right. It. And once you do that, that's all you can do. Just focus on that.
And vote.
There you go. So just focus on the things you can do and nothing else.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying that, I can actually say, I don't know if you've ever seen Kung Fu Panda, which I absolutely love, but he's a Master Shifu tells Poe, who is very unfocused, to always focus throughout the whole movie. And so focus is definitely a big part of it. I do want to give a shout out real quick to one of our inspired listeners. She just said great insights in the show so far today. So I want to give Tabitha, one of our listeners, an inspired listening shout out. Thanks for listening. We love our inspired listeners and we love the interaction. Again, if you have a question for Jared or myself or Kim, please give us a call, 202-570-7057. We're having a fun conversation today during the noon hour here with our transformational coach and speaker. And Jared, where can folks get a hold of you? Where can they find you? I know you're in Colorado, just survived that whatever blizzard storm you guys just had in Colorado. Mm-hmm. My niece is there. That was definitely an interesting, I have never seen that before. But where can folks get a hold of you and interact with you?
Right. So if anyone wants to get a hold of me, ask me questions, they can reach me through my website at transformationalcoaching.co. It's not .com, just .co, C-O. My number is 610-505-5612. Please feel free to send me a text, but just a text because I get a lot of calls. And then at my email, jared@transformationalcoaching.co. And my YouTube channel is also called Transformational Coaching.
Great, thank you.
So Jared, so okay, we're talking about all this great, you know, leadership, conscious leadership, and I've heard you talk in some of your videos about speaking from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that concept received by the executives you work with? I mean, people have a difficult enough time doing that in their own personal relationships, let alone in a work environment, right? Whether it's a fellow colleague, a subordinate, or even a superior. So how do they receive that? Because even in, some of the work that I do, I'm working with clients, and you know, if they're having an issue, let's say, with their adult child, you know, they'll say, well, what should I say in my next conversation? And I say, speak from the heart, you know, just speak from your heart. I'm not going to tell you what to say. It's almost like they hand over all their power to you, you know, but the power is really in the heart. So how is that? I mean, it goes against what most people, you know, how people typically behave in the traditional corporate world. How are these executives receiving that concept?
So for a lot of people, it's hard to understand, especially in that world, because they're living in the mind so much. They're not embodied. So the first thing that I do is I bring their awareness or their intention to their heart. Hey, what is going on? What are you feeling right now? Like, what are you actually feeling and experiencing in the body as I say this? And some people might be, well, I'm actually a little bit angry. I'm actually put on the defense. Actually, I'm feeling... And I say, well, what are you feeling right now? What's coming up for you? And then as we go into that feeling a little bit more, they start to recognize, oh, wait, I'm feeling this way. Okay, well, what is that feeling about? What is that feeling about, and how is it determining your actions out there in the world? And so then we go into that feeling, and they recognize, well, I felt this way about this situation, and I feel this way about this situation. And then I ask them, well, what actions, what behaviors are you doing that are causing that internal feeling with you? Does that feeling feel pleasant? Does it feel – well, how does it describe that to me? And then they'll describe it to me, and then they'll describe the subsequent actions that are causing that internal feeling. And that's really the match there. When a person has an internal feeling, that internal feeling is always connected to an external action. And so if your world, if you're having these feelings that aren't, if they don't feel good, then that's a sign that there's some sort of action that you're taking or behavior that you're expressing that isn't aligned to you. We build our worlds from the inside out, not from the outside in. A lot of people think it's from the outside in, but we build it from the inside out. And so if you're feeling a particular way, then that's a key sign that something is awry or something isn't right and needs to be addressed and is asking to be addressed.
Right. And so they're pretty they feel good about going to that place within them with you, I guess, in your sessions with them, which is great.
Well, not initially. Actually, a lot of them are scared at first, but then once we can understand why that sensation is coming up for them, and they can see how it's contributing to building their environment the way, however they want to build it, once they can see that connection, then we realign. Like, we realign the feelings with the external actions. It's like, oh, I'm feeling this way. I didn't even know that I felt that way, or I didn't even know that I was thinking this way. But now that I'm aware of it, I know what actions I need to take. A lot of people, whether they feel fear, whether they feel anxiety, it's because they're confused or they're angry or they don't know what to do next. If you look at anger, anxiety, confusion, it all stems around not knowing what to do. And when we don't know what to do, we don't move forward. And so a lot of people start feeling stuck. And this happens in every area of life, our relationships and our work. So anytime where we feel stuck or like we're not moving forward, that's a key sign that there's something in your external environment that needs to change and shift. And so if you can go into the emotion, that stuck feeling, and then understand how that's connected to your external environment and make that change, that action in the external environment, then you're going to change the emotion that you're experiencing, and you'll bring yourself back into alignment with your external world. That's what it means to be conscious. Being conscious means I know what I'm feeling on the inside, and I know how that is connected to my external world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear how I explain that? Is that making sense or?
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
it does. Yeah, it does.
It makes complete sense. But you know, a lot of the world out there, like you said earlier, is focusing on the outside world, not understanding that connection. So you're bringing them on the inside, which is where they need to be, and which is really transforming their lives all the way around, not just in business, which is beautiful.
Right.
The other thing too that you know, you had talked about in some of your videos is you know, not focusing on what you can give, not what you can get from someone. And this is just, you know, completely contrary to the human ego way of being in the traditional corporate world, right? I mean, in the work environment that I came from, which was in the entertainment industry, the mentality was, you know, you should be glad you're here. And if you're not, there's someone else who's dying to work here. So, you know, so flipping that way of being around is a big thing. And how does that, when we focus on what we can give, how does that shift things for us?
Yeah, I love that. So I'm just going to continue on this with a story that totally relates to what you're saying. So a lot of businesses and a lot of leaders have this backwards. They think like, okay, what can I get from this situation? And that makes sense from where we come from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, survival, struggle, all that jazz. But the new paradigm really is, how much can you give? How much value can you put out first? And the best businesses, and what I'm realizing is that the best businesses and the most successful people, that's where they start. They just start with, how much value can I bring? This is why if you go into the food store, they're giving you a free sample. It's like, I want people to try this free thing, and then they get a taste for it, and then maybe they'll invest in buying the whole thing of meat. So the best businesses and the best leaders recognize that it starts with giving, and just giving and giving and giving, and trusting that when you give, you will receive back. But a lot of people are caught up in this fear of giving at all. They think, because they have it's like a poverty consciousness. I need to hang on to what I have, this little bit, and I'm safe here, and this feels good because I have this little bit, but I don't want to give it up. But if you notice, there's a lot of anxiety and worry there. But the more I see how the world actually works, I just give more and more and more. The more I realize that it gives back in these unknown ways. It's impossible. It's it's impossible to give and not be replenished. That's, if you look at just the natural laws of the world and the universe, that's how it works. You know, you give a seed water, and that seed will give you back fruit. And it's just the natural cycle of things. And I think in our modern culture, we're so far removed from the natural cycle of things that we've lost that sense of innate trust in the world around us.
Right.
I'll give you a perfect example of this real quickly here, Kim. There's one of my clients, Paulo. He was a sales rep. He worked for the corporation Honeywell, and he would have to give about 5 or 6 sales presentations a day. And so that was a lot. So he was nervous. He was like, man, I don't know if I can keep up this level of performance. I feel like I don't even know the product that well. And I'm going into these presentations not even knowing necessarily what I'm talking about. I'm wondering how I'm looking, how I'm feeling, how they're perceiving me. And I just asked him, I said, Paulo, look at where your attention is. Your attention is completely on you. You're wondering how you're looking, how you're performing. Of course you feel anxious and fearful. What if you could shift your focus away from you and onto them, offering them the best service and the best value? And so all it took for him was that little question, you know, what would it look like if you shifted all your attention and focus on them? And just that question flipped his focus from me, what am I looking like? Am I performing well? What are these people thinking of? Because when you're having those thoughts, you're worried and you're anxious because all your attention is on yourself. But when I asked that question, all he did was focus on them. And when that focus shifted, all of a sudden that anxiety and that worry naturally dissipated. It naturally fell away because the focus wasn't on him. And that's what we call, psychologists call the state of flow. You're so focused on the work and the action in and of itself that you perform really well because there's no sense of self-awareness. All your awareness is on the thing that you're doing or the person that you're serving. And that's one of the things that I really do in my life and my work. It's just the way that I do, that's the way that I do things. I'm not thinking about myself at all. I'm so focused on the process itself and the person that I'm serving that by the end of my sessions, people are like, wow, I feel really good. I felt really connected to you. Even in speaking engagements, the audience will say, wow, I felt really connected to you. You know, weren't you nervous up there or did you think of something? Or like, weren't you worried about how you were being present? And I wasn't thinking about how I was presenting at all. I was actually just focused on you guys. I wasn't focused on, there was no me when I was up there. And that's how we perform the best. That's how everything becomes fluid and easy, is when we focus on the people that we're serving so much that we lose ourselves in that. Not losing ourselves in a bad way, but losing your sense of self in that moment.
Well, and I was going to say too, Jared, another perspective to think about is how healthier he is now, as far as that when we put that focus on ourselves, we're looking for health and happiness. Think of the stress, think of the worry and everything that drops from a biological standpoint or anatomy and physiology, how that drops into the system. And he's doing that 5 or 6 times a day. The number one killer of us all is stress. So you're really, in the sense, not only performing and connecting to your audience, you're doing it in a very healthier way compared to that stress and worry that we all put ourselves through. And I just know that from my own journey as a retired firefighter, you know, that constantly being called to other people's tragedies and how the body itself, the cortisone and the brain and the chemicals that release within the brain. And so he's actually sustaining his life by focusing on others versus himself. And it really applies to the circle of life, right? The golden rule. Treat others how you like to be treated and pay it forward and move into those circles that you were talking about. So what a very inspiring conversation, Jared. That's why we have people like yourself on Inspired Living Radio, because we like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration. And I know that our global audience around the world is really going to enjoy this show, whether they're listening now or they catch that podcast. Just what I like to do for our guests, this is going to be a little bit of improv. What or who inspires you?
Oh, great question, Mark. Okay. What or who inspires me? I would say, are you referring to people or are you referring
to what brings you inspiration? What plays a part in your transformational coaching? What inspires you? It could be a person, it could be a book, it could be an experience.
Okay. I would say just the change that I'm seeing in another individual. When I see a person shift a belief system, or when I see them shift from a place of lack to a place of abundance, or shift from a place of, I didn't think I could have this before, to, wow, I can have this and that. That's what inspires me. Just change and evolution itself. Seeing other people transform in a way that is sustainable and grounded is really what gets me going. You know, I had one client, she came to me, she's a creative director out in San Francisco, and she was really overworked, overstressed, and she was worried about her salary. She wanted to get a salary increase because she knew this next job that she was going to as a creative director was going to ask and demand a lot for her. But she had never asked for a salary. It's very uncommon for women to negotiate salaries in San Francisco. And so one of the things that we did was we went into a call, and in three calls, I taught her through the transformational process to argue for her salary, to negotiate her salary up. And in three calls, we negotiated her salary up by $25,000. And her life completely shifted just because of that. She never thought that was even possible. Wasn't even on her radar.
Well, thank you, Jared, so much. You're a coach and a healer. And thank you for being on Inspired Living. And we'll be back next Wisdom Wednesday.
Thanks for joining us.
Until our next time together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Namaste.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you.